The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 50. Yes, I can't believe it's been 50 episodes already. These things certainly do fly by. On today's episode, we chat with my friend Steve Maeda. Steve has been a staple in the self-development community for years, and I've been a big fan of his for years, watching him on things like the 21 Convention and his website, The Sexual Life. Steve is a dating coach, a life coach, and a great, great speaker, and I've personally learned a ton about his speeches over the years. So in this episode, we talk about his experiences with the 21 Convention, how he got into dating, how he got into dating coaching, life coaching, and also, of course, the subject of selling, which is also the title of today's episode. Episode number 50, How to Sell Any Product. All right, we're live. Justin Stenstrom here from Elite Man Magazine, and my guest today is none other than Steve Maeda.
Thank you for having me. Super cool to be on.
All right, sweet man. I'm pretty pumped. We've got a good mix of topics we're going to talk about today. You know, we each kind of touched upon it a few minutes ago. We're going to kind of jump into a few different things. Your background as far as, you know, dating and pickup. Your kind of start with the 21 Convention and some of the cool topics you've talked about in the convention that I really clicked with and liked. So, Steve, for those who may not be as familiar with who you are and maybe how you got started in the whole self-development kind of community, can you just tell our listeners a little more about your background and how you got started?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely, man. I mean, it depends on how long you want this to go. But the super, super short version is that, I wasn't looking for personal excellence or anything specific towards that. Of what it's become to me now and what I see is an important thing for men and actually what your magazine is really standing for, all I cared about was dating and sex and getting the women that, you know, I wanted. The reason why I bring that up is because a lot of guys start out, I hear this all the time, it's like, I'm out of shape and I want to find a way to get in shape. And then they go to some, you know, site to learn that, and they learn about high intensity training or whatever it is, some sort of diet. You know, it could be paleo, it could be eating only fruit, whatever it is. But it leads to this total expression of who you are. And so for me, that all it was sex and dating. I wanted to date the women that I wanted to date, and I wanted to have those options, and I got really into it. One thing that happens, and that always happens in every men's group that I've belonged to, been a part of in any way, shape, or form, is no matter what you're focusing on, whether that's sex, that's diet, entrepreneurship, any of those things, what will become a major topic is going to be sex, fitness, like purpose and focus, those types of things, and some sort of business financial thing. Like, how can we be a better man? And that just obviously becomes the natural expression of men when they come together. And that's what happened to me. You know, so I got really into the dating thing, focused on it. I still, that's my main venue of talking, is communicating through sex. Like, if we were going to talk about business, I could make all sorts of correlations between that and, you know, human social dynamics and sex or fitness or yada, yada. So that's still my main filter that I communicate through. But, it started there for me, and it branched out to everything else, and achieving it or getting to a place of functionality with it has been like a huge focus of mine.
When did this all start, like, as far as seeing changes in your life and the whole, like, dating kind of pickup thing that you got into to really spark everything?
Yeah, man, where really, so from 15, maybe 16 to 30, I didn't work out at all. And so, and I was really unhealthy. So, one thing with me is, it's kind of interesting because if you talk to me now, it's real easy for me to put on fat, but I never became a fat, obese person. So I could eat a lot and be really unhealthy. I did a lot of drugs and drank and like all, like it was really, to an extreme degree of all those sorts of things. That's all I did. I played music. Like I said, man, I wasn't interested in personal excellence. All I cared about was traveling around and, kind of seeing the world and living how I lived. I lived in some pretty interesting and crazy places and all that sort of stuff. But, none of it was like nice. So that being said, basically I was really out of shape at 28 when I came into the seduction industry, or more like 27, but when I really took it serious. And so I got good with women. Interesting thing. And I'll say this to anybody. If you ever get in really good shape and you get buff and a six pack and all that sort of stuff, it'll be amazing how much attention you get that when you haven't lived that way. But what I will say is my most sexually active time in my life, has been when I haven't had any of that. And so that was when I was like 28, 29, 30, and I got really good with women. I got to the point where, you know, I was doing what all pickup artists kind of like aspire to do, is, you know, rack up the coolest stories with the hottest women, with as many women as possible. And that was my like reality of what I existed as. And like I said, when men get together, and I was so sexually motivated at the time that, you know, really preoccupied me for a long time. But when men get together, and when you get a bunch of clients and you get an international client base, which I had started to do at the time, you meet people who are of all different lifestyles, ages, careers, passions. And so you meet fighters, you meet businessmen, you meet all these sorts of different people. And it's, man, it's really cool. And after a while, you start to go, you know what? I need to focus on these other areas of my life. I just remember my friend Scott Nelson. He's a jujitsu guy. He owns a company called On the Mat, and they've been around in jujitsu forever. So he actually got me started in jujitsu. But he, before that, he was like, "Man, I read this book, Body for Life, when I was in Brazil training jujitsu in the 90s, and that's just what I did." And so I actually started with that. When I talk to a lot of my high intensity friends now, like you had mentioned Drew Bay, or there's another guy, Keith Norris, or my friend Mark Atobre, who's actually not a high intensity guy, but man, that guy is an amazing fitness dude. When I talk to them now, you know, they all hate that book. They're like, "Oh, it's great marketing, you know, Bill Phillips." But, you know, when you have not done anything for 15 years, it is a great place. It was a great place for me to start. And I followed it. And with anything that you change in your life, I was just talking about this on my groups because we have TSL, that's the company I have, the sexual life, that's what it stands for. We go into like health and fitness, even though, you know, our main focus is social dynamics, but we have this health and fitness page, and I've been doing this challenge where I do, I videotape all my exercises, and, I'm only doing body weight because I'm on vacation. So one of the guys was like, "Dude, you sound like you're miserable whenever you're working out." And I was trying to explain to him, I'm like, "Man, because these are things that I haven't done in a long time and my body's not used to it. It's hard. Any change that you want to do," and this is what was really important to me when I was 30 starting to work out again, was that you have to commit to it for minimum 6 weeks. I'd say minimum 12 weeks. And you're going to be forcing yourself to do it. That's a horrible way to maintain change, like to force yourself to do something. But at first, when you're not used to it, you have to force yourself to do it. And I'm so glad that I did, because it actually started to work. And then from 30, God, man, I worked out in every different way you could imagine, from like 30 to 33. And I still, you know, experiment, and it's still a crazy thing for me that I always want to find out different stuff. but it took me a long time to actually get to a place where I felt I was in the natural state of my body. And that really came, I think there's other ways to do this, but that really came with a lot of paleo stuff. And at the time, I wasn't really doing much lifting, but just staying active in ways that I really enjoyed. But diet was such a huge thing. Basically, long story short, when I was 30, I somehow disciplined myself to start exercising again, whether that was distance running or some plyometric thing or whatever weight thing. But I couldn't actually get all my fat off until I switched my diet. And then that made everything else work. So I think there's tons of different ways to get in shape. I'm not an expert on it. There's tons of different ways, tons of different diets, tons of different exercise plans. But there's always going to be those two, how you move your body and how you fuel it. So, yeah, that just branched off into so many different ways of how I could better myself. In any case, man, it just goes in so many different directions. It depends on where you want to start with it.
So after kind of getting your fitness and health down, just changed you as a person, kind of made you feel better in so many ways, and you took that professionally and kind of took the next step with that?
Well, it all kind of happened. You know, maybe they did happen separately, but I'd get distracted so easily. So I'd focus on business or I'd focus on fitness, and I'm always doing it. But one thing that I will say is if you are not in your functioning natural state, you don't know who you are. Okay, so you're not an expression of yourself. That's really important. That's a great principle to kind of live by. So if you're not functional health-wise, then you're not acting yourself. The other day, so I'm 38 now, and it's really actually disheartening because my brother is 42. He's about to be 43, so he's 5 years older. And he just did a CrossFit competition. This guy's like worked out all his life. He's super in shape. I saw the video and it was just like, oh my God. He's doing stuff that I can't, if I do that, I'll need like 5 days to recover. It'll make me sick, you know, because it's so much. And plus, I mean, I don't know what it is. There could be different genetics. There could be my lifestyle for 15 years of my life, but I'm just in a different spot than where he's at with it. I need much more recovery time, even though he's older. But that was a very, very hard thing for me to accept when I started working out in kind of more extreme ways. But long story short, I had worked out so much on this vacation or something else, maybe my diet, who knows. But I felt off. You know, I felt like my so I'll train like a lot of like jujitsu or sambo or some sort of kickboxing. You can really overtrain big time in those especially when you're working out with really young guys. And when you overtrain, one of the characteristics is that not only is your body fatigued, but your mental capacity goes down. You lose motivation and everything starts to fade. In fact, another correlation is if guys get older and they start to experience low testosterone, all those things will happen. Like longer recovery time, your brain will have a fogginess, you'll have no motivation, and you'll just be kind of gliding through, your thought process won't work as well. Well, that is a state where you're not in a state of functioning, right? You're not fully there. Another state of like dysfunction or you're not functioning would be as if you can't do the normal things that life would require. Like let's say if you can't run 50 yards to, you know, get out of the way of something and that really taxes you, you're actually not in your natural state. But then if you take that to your emotional life and your social life, which is really, you know, kind of like our forte of what we talk about most, if you can't have a normal conversation, if you can't have a expressive range of emotions, if these things are difficult for you, whether you're mired by social anxiety or you just don't know how to, or your environment hasn't led you to do that, then you aren't yourself. If you aren't sleeping properly and you're deprived of that, you are not yourself. So anyway, the list goes on and on of those things. So what I started to find was that in my journey of all this, it was like, what is my true expression? and how can I get into that? So what is my true expression with my body? Hands down, what I call health is not an image. It's not how you look. That makes you feel good. And man, when you look good, that's really cool. Like it helps so much, man, but it will not make you happy. I remember I was telling my brother, because my brother's always been in shape, right? When I started to get, you know, really buff and have a cut body, I'm like, man, this doesn't necessarily make you less insecure. You know, even though you have everything that would make you good, you want more, right? And he's like, oh, totally, man. It's not about that, though. You know, it's not about the image. It's about, you know, you being in touch with yourself. And this is coming from a guy who worked out all his life. And so what I realized was like, wait a minute, this is about my body and its natural state and its representation of how it's supposed to work. How can I get into that? And that's really what I felt when I got in the best shape of my life, which is not right now. But the same thing would go for like, see, business is kind of weird because business is a man-made thing. We weren't necessarily born to do it, right? We were born to be healthy. We were born to be happy. We were born to be social, born to be sexual, born to even have community and all this sort of stuff. And so that's like in our DNA. Business is something that we can do and can get very involved with, but it isn't like an absolute of nature. But nonetheless, with business, it really comes down to, is this an expression of me? Am I doing, you know, my expression, and is it connecting in the ways? And a lot of times we get very result-based, like, am I getting enough clicks? Am I getting enough income? I mean, hey, let's face it, with business, are you making money or not? Like, that's hands down it. So for me, and this is actually interesting, I was good at selling face-to-face, but not good at selling on a broad scale. And so when online or the internet or the world, let's say, is your economy or what's getting you business, you need to be able to do all of that. And so it was really interesting when I was 28, 29, 30, I could always sell face to face. And so people were really amazed at that. You probably won't think this is a big deal now, but actually I forget the amount. But I was the first person. So way back when, I worked for a company called Mystery Method, and they actually sued me. And I was the first person to get a one-on-one sale that was like $8,000. Okay, so this is in like 2007 or 6 or something like that. So I was the first person to ever get a sale that high, and they were amazed at it, which is really weird because that stuff happens all the time now. And they were like, what did you do? Like, I can't believe it. I don't really know what I did, but, you know, I talked to the guy and, you know, whatever. But so I was really good at that. And if I got people in front of me, I could get these big sales. But I didn't know how to get, like, when you're living that way, you kind of get a big sale and then you build this habit. Now, not everybody does this, but you kind of get the general population. When you get a lot of stuff, you kind of sit and relax and chill out. And then you're like, holy shit, a month just went by. Let me get some more stuff. And so I kind of built this repetitious pattern of that. And it was very hard for me to learn other ways of selling or business that could be more sustainable. Now, the interesting thing is that got me in kind of like a panic, anxious mode. That's never a good place to be. And somehow I'm a very slow learner. But one thing is I've stayed in business for a decent amount of time. So you learn some diversity, but it took me years. It took me like 4 years of coaching all the time to get, all right, I want to have a sustainable online program or platform where people could learn. And eventually we built that. And then it's like, well, how do we create smaller products? And how do we create ways for guys to interact with no money and so on? And so business is an interesting thing, because learning how to do that, probably like for yourself, it's like, where do I start? You know, and there's like every different online marketing guru telling you a different way. But eventually, as always, they're all kind of merging into the same thing. So over time, all that kind of came into play. I mean, it's the only job I've had since 2007. So it's been a while that I've only done this, and it's really cool.
you kind of touched on one of the main topics I actually wanted to talk about with you in today's interview, and that is selling. But before we kind of get into that, can you just give us an idea of how you got in with the 21 convention and then later became like the host of it?
Yeah, sure.
I've loved the convention for years. It's so cool.
Oh, awesome, man. Yeah, the 21 convention is great. Ever-changing, yet always the same, like the ocean. But the 21 convention actually started in 2007. Now, I didn't speak at that convention, and that's the only year I haven't spoke. And the only person who has spoken at that is still around, I think. I could be wrong in this, but it would be Anthony, the CEO, Anthony Johnson. And so the 21 convention started then, and basically Anthony was young. You know, he was however old he was, 17 or 18, and he...
I think it was the under 21 yes. convention at first,
Yes,
right?
Under 21 convention in 2007 and in 2008, and then it changed in 2009, I believe. God, man, I got to check. There's been so much happening, especially with multiple conventions a year on some years. So basically... he was like, let me get all these speakers together and let's focus on dating and whatever pickup stuff. And he just wanted access to it. Now, the interesting thing is at this time in 2007 and 2008, other people had conventions. They existed and they were probably better in some ways than the 2007 or 2008. I mean, I was at the 2008 convention. They were probably better, but there were also things that were different. And this is very interesting that people should know about the history and even entrepreneurship, because Anthony Johnson is a pretty amazing entrepreneur in that sense. So in 2008, when I came on as a speaker, I spoke at the Tampa Orlando layer. There's these things called layers where guys meet up. But the top layer, Tampa Orlando layer, which is still in existence, believe it or not, I went and spoke there, and Anthony approached me, and I guess I was kind of indifferent to it, but my friend at the time, John, he was going to speak there. Some other bigger names are going to speak there. So I was like, all right, cool. Now, that's how Anthony describes it. But for me, I spoke anywhere. In fact, I had a rule back then where I would speak anywhere if people asked me and I could afford it. So I actually spoke in Harvard in Boston for the Boston layer way back when. And so I gave a talk at Harvard, and that was around the same time, 2007. So basically, I spoke there, and when I spoke there, Anthony put on this pretty great event. It was at this hotel. There were 100 people there, great room, and he paid for like 3 cameras to shoot this thing on a really high quality. Well, it turns out, as you know, a young guy in business, him and even myself, so at the time I'm like 30 or whatever, but I realized like, wow, this is like a pretty amazing organization of stuff. But then he told me, he's like, hey man, he told a few of us, he's like, look, I'm really stressed, I overdid myself, and we don't have enough money for all the camera people. We're going to cut one of the camera or two of the camera people or whatever, and we're just going to have one camera. And like, I don't know, I'm going to sell my car. He was just going nuts, right? And like, I've been in that position. But you know, this guy's like 18 or 19 at the time. Anyway, long story short, the interesting thing that kind of got me involved was that I hadn't spoken yet, but I basically said, hey, it's Saturday night, let's get all the speakers to come together for a dinner, and we're low on money at the convention. If you can donate any money, donate it to the convention, and we'll answer whatever questions and work with you individually as whatever coaches, yada, 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 you know, during that we're there at the convention. So anyway, Anthony was like, cool. So the thing is we actually made $750. So it was kind of like, cool. Anthony needed more than that, but he was like, holy shit, Steve, that was like really cool. The best and worst part about it is we're talking about pickup people. So like all the guys came, but actually this is a true story. So there were a couple coaches who showed up. this guy Sin, who you've probably heard of, Adam Lyons, who you've probably heard of, this guy Jared, who was just starting to coach, who goes by the name of Psych now, a few other guys, and then some dudes from Boston, actually. This dude who went by the name Doc Holliday, and this dude that went by the name Entropy, who is also Mark Manson. I shit you not, yeah. The only people that interacted with those guys, this is the most asshole PUA thing, was Mark, Doc, and myself. And we were working with like 50 dudes. And then I just remember Adam Lyons and John and Psych and like two other dudes sitting at the table talking amongst each other like normal pickup guys do about how cool they are and how many chicks they've boned or some stupid shit. And it's totally ignoring the experience, which is like very typical of what happens when pickup guys come together. Anyway, that being said, Anthony was like, man, thanks a lot. We became really good friends. 2009 rolls around. I'm like always trying to be involved with the convention and helping out in whatever ways. 2010. And then 2010 and 11, he started having, well, he always had a host, but they were kind of like not that big of a role. So what happened was in 2012, he had a host and they didn't show up. And he was like, hey, dude, can you host? And I said, sure. And so we just had a lot of fun. And that was in Melbourne, Australia. And he's like, dude, you're the host. And what I want for that. And actually, I don't want to say I'm the host because there's other guys who, you know, do it as well, like Robbie Kramer and so on. But I think for certain events, like Anthony designates me as the host. And then with the podcast, other people can host the podcast, like Skylar Tanner. He's a fitness guy. Sometimes he hosts it for some of the fitness dudes. I just am the most, I guess, like seen or viewed host. But yeah, man, Anthony and I became super good friends. Seeing that guy grow his business and the ambition that's involved in it is pretty freaking amazing. So for me, the 21 convention has been such a big representation of myself. And actually, Anthony said, he's like, dude, you're the perfect host. And I'm like, I don't get it. And he's like, because you've done everything. Like, you understand the high intensity fitness guys. Now, I'm not an expert and I don't want to be, but I've done it. Like, I've done that stuff. I've trained with so many of the different guys at the 21 convention. He also said, you know, it's like with the dating, there's that too, but also the life philosophy. Like, you get, you know, what we're saying. And actually, Anthony and I may disagree on certain things, but at the same time, I really, like I said, you know, I'm not an expert on Ayn Rand philosophy by any means, but I definitely get it and I understand where a lot of those guys are coming from and have just experienced it. And when I look back, it's kind of sad because other speakers, I never really thought of it this way, they haven't done that. They haven't gotten in shape. They haven't really committed to it and been inspired by it and gone and worked out. Like, that's the best. You show up at the convention. This is the coolest thing about being at the convention. You're like, oh, my God, Dr. Doug McGuff, what's going on? Man, you're saying this. Hey, is there any way that I could, you know, work out with you or whatever? And I would do these things, you know, and because it was really interesting to me. The other people attending would do it, but not a lot of the speakers. In retrospect, I never thought about this at the time, but they just never really got involved in it, which is really sad because it's like you're at this convention with 20 other guys that are just at the top of their game at some of these different areas. Shit, man, I'm going to learn from them. So over the years, I learned from them, and then I started being more involved in hosting the convention and the podcast and so on.
Just out of curiosity, what did what was Anthony charging back then for like entry into the for like guests to get in there? Like, how much was a ticket and what is it
now? Yeah, I think it was $100. There may have been a discount like of 80, and there may have been one that was a little bit more. He's tried all sorts of different stuff with pricing. I'm not sure what it is now for the conventions that are going to be happening in 2016. That's up for Anthony and his team to figure out. I know in 2014 he charged $1,500 for a ticket. And what actually happened with the convention was it stepped up in all these ways. So I mean, one thing that, like, James Marshall, he's another great coach who has spoken at the convention a bunch of times and has been a keynote speaker. He said that $1,500 is too little for what was provided at the 2014 event that we did. And one of the reasons for that was because the availability, the intimacy, the access that you had, and the workshops that happened within the convention were just, I mean, that went way up. So if you take 2008, it's kind of like these speakers and everybody's going in and out. There are these big egos. Anthony's stressed at the time about money and all that sort of stuff. But in 2014, it's like, this is Anthony's expression. This is Anthony's convention. These are the speakers who are sharing their voices. These speakers are not there to sell you or take advantage of you. You know, you can have that option. Of course, it's always there, but they're there to work with you. And so the event just had a totally different feel, and the quality of it was just way stepped up. So I don't know what he's going to be charging for the 2016 events, and I don't know exactly where they're all going to be at. I've heard people talking about it, but I know he's thinking about having them in multiple continents again, and perhaps having two or three of them. But we'll wait till, you know, he releases whatever that is. What I would say is, if you're a fan of the 21 convention, you should check out the 21 University, because it's an online platform that just allows a lot of cool stuff. And it may not be right now, but it was $1 to try it out for the first month. And then you can, it's not like a big trick. You can easily cancel it if you want. Yeah. But yeah, you get all the speeches, but then also there's like webinars that the different speakers have done and cool stuff like that.
Is just like mind blowing is how young he was and how great of an entrepreneur.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He was back then, and just kind of like you said, he was willing to like sell his car and he was going crazy just to get it going and everything. But I mean, he did get it going, and even though the first year probably wasn't 100% the way he wanted it to be, from where it is then and where it is now is just incredible. He has one of the best conferences in the world, and I've even looked at back when I started with the whole self-help community back in 2008 2009. I remember we're just watching all kinds of cool videos on the fitness thing, the health,
yeah,
dating stuff, just everything under the sun. They had, you know, the best guys in the world,
yeah,
coming to that convention. It was so cool.
Yeah, the fitness stuff is my favorite part of the convention, easily, always.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember Drew Bay back then too. Maybe it was 2009 or something. It was just like the whole high intensity thing, and just completely shifted my whole mindset in that. Because, in as far as working out, because before that it was just, you know, three sets, do every single body part, you know, hour and a half in the gym, and it's like, yeah, if you're just starting off, you're gonna see some progress,
right?
But if you don't really know what you're doing, you're going to stall out pretty soon. And that was just a complete, you know, mind change for me anyways. It's just that you could do one set and still get, you know, the same results.
Yeah, Drew is definitely an awesome guy. We were scheduled to do an interview in December, but I guess like schedules conflicted and stuff. But yeah, the first time he spoke in 2009, I believe, man, it changed a lot. I'll even say that the guys who attended that convention that he spoke at, they changed the most from the fitness stuff than anything else. Like when I saw those guys 3 months later, like a ton had lost weight. I was like, you know, I didn't start any of it then. It was like, I was trying to work out, but it was like crazy to see, just the transformation of guys 3 months later. And then a year later at the next convention, the fitness was the first thing that they all really made a massive difference on.
All right, guys, I think it's the perfect time to take a quick break from the episode to remind you to subscribe to our show. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting episodes. Subscribe now and get all of the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. Okay, guys, back to the episode now.
One of my favorite 21 convention videos is actually the impromptu speech you gave 1 year about selling. And I remember even in the video, you're like, yeah, Anthony had kind of, I think somebody can't, I think it might have been DJ Fuji.
Yeah, you're right.
He got sick or something, he had to cancel. And you just kind of hopped on stage and winged it. But it was really an incredible speech. And I remember back at the time, I was actually personal training and selling packages for personal training. And I was working at a gym. And I was like an assistant manager, you know, just selling all kinds of packages for training throughout the day, throughout the week. And I remember I came across that video. And after that, my sales just went way up because it really clicked with me, and just a lot of the information. It's just like so simple, but really sophisticated at the same time. Can you kind of talk about, you know, selling and also that speech?
Absolutely. So the cool story behind that speech was I had just showed up, man. I was in Austria, and I showed up, and I was there like maybe 30 minutes. And Anthony was like, hey, you know, Fuji's sick. Which rarely happens, and we're moving a slot. I don't know what to do. And the other horrible thing about that was Matthew Hussey spoke, I think, just before me. And this is what he talks about is selling. So his speech was like really well put together. And the funny thing is, after I got done with that speech, everybody's like, okay, cool. And nobody told me. Like a couple days later, I gave my actual speech on kind of like the idea behind the sexual life. And everybody was like, man, the sexual life speech was so good. Your first speech, it was kind of like, you know, and I was like, really? It sucked that bad? But people were like, well, you followed Matthew Hussey and I'm like, hey, man, yeah, totally. I just filled in the gap. But I was like, the information's good. And so I really appreciate you saying that it helped you out, because there have been some other people who've told me that. And this, I'll tell you, is a form of selling that I love. So this helps with face-to-face selling. And the theories all can be translated to online selling, but they're a little bit different. Where this actually came from was from a client. And I actually mentioned it in the speech, Brian Franklin. He basically had hired me a long time ago in 2007. And then he met with me afterwards, and he was like, hey, man, look, let me help you out with your business, because that's what I do. And he's a highline business coach. Now, the funny thing is Brian had gotten a divorce and had all this stuff happen in his life. And he got remarried again. And when he got remarried, he actually credited. He was like, hey, you know, I potentially wouldn't have met my wife had I not worked with you and all that sort of stuff. And he always referenced me as like a really good dating coach. And this guy is like an excellent, excellent entrepreneur coach. You should check him out. He has had many dating coaches that have hired him to help him out with his business, but he always referred people to me, which I found is a huge compliment. So this was amazing. This guy sits down with me in a restaurant in Las Vegas, and it's about a couple months after his workshop. And he's like, dude, let me help you out with your business. And he was like, look, I'll teach you how to sell in 15 minutes. I could teach you everything you need to know. And I was like, okay, teach me that. And this is so awesome, because after he told me how to do this, this doesn't always happen. Okay. I wish it always happened, but almost immediately after that, like a couple days, there was a guy, and it was still in Las Vegas. I had the opportunity to sell a guy for $20,000, and I'd never done that before in 2007, however old I was then. So this was like unreal to me. And what he said, he actually gave me a very simplified version of it than what I later learned from him in the speech. But he basically said, look, you need to find out what they want. Now, a lot of people in sales call this the pain point. But it doesn't always have to be pain. It needs to be their desire or what they truly want. And if you can get them to invest in that and really hear it, then you have to tell them how you could offer that. And it's so simple. It's so basic, but the art of it is not just like, hey, man, what do you want? And they're like, oh, I want to lose weight or I want to fuck chicks. It needs to come down to like, okay, so all men want to have sex with a lot of women or be in shape or have the greatest expression of their body or whatever it is. But what is that to you and what does it mean? Like, where did that start? You really got to get in what that means to them, you know? And so a lot of canned sales material hits all this. Like, well, okay, what would it mean to walk around on the beach with your shirt off or with the hottest girl in the room or something? And you get guys to imagine all that stuff. This made it so much easier for me to get because I could already talk to people. My social dynamic skill set was already pretty high. And it was like, you know, what do you really want? What do you really emotionally feel? What is it that is important to you about this particular goal? And describe it. Now, the interesting thing about this, because I teach in social dynamics, and if you're talking to women or a sales candidate or something like that, you don't want their superficial reaction, okay? So if you're talking to a guy about what he wants in terms of like health, fitness, dating, he's going to say, well, I want more women. I want to sleep with the same women on the – or I want to sleep with a woman on the same night. I want to be ripped. I want to lose fat. You know, these are all things that they've heard by the fitness industry, the dating industry, that they're repeating back. This actually has no attachment to them. So that want, that desire, that thing that Brian told me, find out what they wanted, and however he explained it very simply, because he's such a great teacher at that, it made sense that it had a deeper meaning. So what's the meaning behind sleeping with a girl on the same night? What will that do for you internally? Why do you have that goal? What's the pain behind it? Of you looking good, of you losing fat, the quickest way to lose fat. Why do you want that? You know, what does that mean to you? And if you can have the skills to elicit that out of somebody, then you can truly understand them. Okay. So at a point of sale, I'm basically like, hey, what do you want? And they're like, I want to lose weight. And I'm like, I can get you that. That's a transaction. Okay. It's very easy to weigh the scale of. It's like, okay, is that worth 10 bucks? Is that worth 100 bucks? And then my dealing with the resistance of the money thing. You know, like, let's say, hey, you want to lose fat or you want to bone chicks. I can guarantee that you can do that for $1,000, you know? And so it's like, all right, $1,000 would hurt to basically let go of right now. I don't know if I have that. And then you start countering and going like, well, how many dates are you going to be on? And how much are you going to lose money on that? Well, if I do this emotional selling, it actually cuts that out. Okay, so one thing that Brian later added in what's in the video is like find out if they can buy something or if they are making the decision to buy something, that's first. But when I would talk to people, I would be like, well, hey, look, let me actually really talk to you. Like, why do you want to sleep with women? Every man wants that. You know, every man should, you're supposed to, but like, what does it mean to you? You know, what's there? You know, and I'd really try and get to know them. I like people, you know, so it'd be you know, what's behind that? Like, if you could sleep with a woman on the first night, like, what would that do for you? And so then a lot of times it goes to like confidence or fear of sex or whatever different stuff that comes into play with that. And I'd be like, oh, so, you know, it's really like, you want to sleep with women and that would be cool, you know, maybe for a month or a few times, or, you know, if you haven't really experienced that, that might be kind of like this thing that you don't really know yet, but really you'd like to walk around with confidence and knowing that you could be a man that could be desired by women. It's just, they don't know it yet. And so I'd really try and re-articulate what their deeper desire was. And again, it's something that they haven't articulated yet. So it's hard for them to get. But if you've heard it enough, you can get it. If you've sold enough, if you've been around there enough, if you're selling personal training things, it's like, well, you want to get to a place where your body's at peak performance. Like, of course, you look good. But there's also a feeling that when you wake up, you're you. Every muscle, every part of your skin is an expression of you. And when you're talking to somebody, it's not about how they think of you. It's really whether or not they see you for you or not. Like, if you ever experienced that. So that's really the want of perhaps somebody that has that. And because you build that connection and intimacy with it, then you can deliver the like, hey, I can get it. or that's exactly what we do. And of course, you should have a company that does this, but that's what I had at the time, so it was easy. So I'd be like, hey, look, I'm just going to tell you right now, we have a lot of clients that have come in the same shoes as you, you know, wanting the same different, the same results, the same points of resistance, the same beliefs that you may not have had it, and they're able to achieve that, and it's really consistent. And then the next thing, so that's the main dynamic. What do you want? You make sure you truly elicit that, and then you tell them you can get it. The next part is also very, very important, but I learned this later. To make that $20,000 sale, I didn't need this. I didn't need that. I just needed the emotional connection and to say that I could deliver it and then get started on the delivery of it. But the next part is the no-brainer, which is like, look, man, we could talk about all the logistical stuff later, but if you had the opportunity to get what you wanted and all these things and it was in front of you, you would do that. It would make sense for you to do that. You just, if you didn't do that, you'd be letting so many things go. It's kind of like a no-brainer. And so you just make it a very clear case that they can easily right then make the decision that it's possible. Okay. So what's very interesting in a social dynamic setting is that as soon as you have that emotional reaction of like, hey, I understand you, we could get that, you then need to get them to decide that they could do that before money is a part of it, before the logistics is a part of it, before any of that stuff, because that's the shit which is going to push them away, be confusing, be so confusing. They say, hey, stop. I need to think about it. I need to sleep on it. And you want them to sleep on it and think about it, but you also want them to have already been in the mode of agreement when that's happened. It makes things so much easier. For instance, if I'm talking to somebody and I'm selling them on something and I'm just like, here's all the information, you know, go do your thing. It's considerably less powerful if I say, here's all the information. Now that's everything that you would want. And am I right or wrong? Like, I want their interaction. I want their decision. Am I right or wrong that you want to change in this specific way and this is how we offer it? So when you're reading this, that's what you're reading. Like, is that correct? And they say yes or no or whatever. I want that decision to happen. And then it just makes it so much easier to look over the information for them. So in any case, that no-brainer or that agreement is huge. And you'll see that. You'll see that big time in seduction. You'll see that big time in sales. Any point of influence, it is massive. And if you don't have that, then your resistance and your counters go way up. And you'd have to have harder selling after that in order for it to work, which isn't a problem. But hey, man, start off on a better foot. So what I basically broke down in that speech was that model. But those three points, find out what they want, tell them you can get it, and then offer a no-brainer, are just massive. They're super huge.
It was a really great speech, and like I said, it really did help me out, and it was great for that no-brainer part where, like, you're trying to close somebody who, say, for me, like, just came into the gym and they weren't sure if they wanted to pay that day or if they wanted to sign up for a six-month contract or whatever, or even a couple-month contract, but if you can elicit that, the feeling and the emotion, and really get to like the core of why they want the change or why they want to do something, it was so much easier for me to be like, yeah, this is what we can offer. This is what we do. Doesn't it make sense? Isn't it just such a no-brainer that you want this and we offer this? And so when they have the emotion attached to it, like you said, building that up, it really made it so much easier anyways for me to get sales and get those closing contracts in.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man.
So yeah, that was really big for me anyways back then. It didn't last in the personal training world. It wasn't for me. You get into something like that thinking like you're gonna, I love fitness, I always have, but you get into something like that thinking like, yeah, you're gonna be around the gym, you can work out all the time, be around cool people and stuff, and then I feel like the more you're around the gym, the less you want to actually work out. So after about a year of doing it, I hated going to actually lift weights after, you know, doing an 8-hour day, 9-hour day. and I felt like my personal health was actually going down because I was only working out like 2 times a week because I was so sick of just being at the place. And, you know, I eventually left and moved on. But it was definitely a good learning experience as far as sales and you know, interaction and stuff. And this all kind of coincided with where I was at as far as my dating life at the time, too, and changing that as well, because it all kind of came together for me around 2009, around 2010, around that time. So.
Yeah, one thing I will say is personal training does not equate to fitness. You know, personal training is this business and usually modeled after a gym, and that makes it really hard, you know, because that gym is a gym's main goal for a mainstream gym, a corporate type gym, is to get people to come in and not really to get healthy. They have the stuff to get healthy. But then you talk to a guy that's a personal trainer like Drew Bay or Marco Tobre or Skylar Tanner, and their goal is to get you healthy. Much different, you know, like model. Yeah. And so working within that, you're probably going to see a lot of spam of the fitness industry and a lot more rules around maintaining getting money rather than getting people in shape.
Exactly. More about getting money for them, for the company, as opposed to actually seeing results in their clients. And it kind of did. It left. That was one of the main reasons why I left, too. It's just kind of like a bad taste. Like, you get into it to help people, get into it to make changes and get people healthier and get them fit. And you kind of realize it's not really about that when you're
totally. Gym yeah. Anything.
It's just more about kind of getting as many people to sign up as possible and making them money.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't my thing.
Yeah, totally.
But the speech was awesome. The sales tactics were incredible. Steve, moving on from that, what are some of your daily routines now? What do you do day to day to kind of stay in shape, stay healthy, stay happy? I know you gave a speech about, I think it was like the 5 components of being happy or something like that. It was a really cool speech as well. But what are some of your morning rituals, some of your day-to-day activities that you do now?
Yeah, so people ask that question a lot. I know that's a big thing of like, what routine do you have? I don't really have much of a routine. Currently, right now, I'm waking up and working out and then doing a meditative stance called Wu Chi Fa, which is like it's a standing meditation. A friend of mine actually created the martial art, and so I do that, and that takes about an hour to an hour and a half. Working out now is all body weight exercises because I'm on a vacation, and I just kind of committed to that because there's a lot of cool stuff that you could do. I would actually say the coolest part about body weight exercises would be any sort of sprinting you could do and any sort of holds. So those are two very different things, right? And holds would be like planks or side planks, supermans. You could do like L-sits if you have parallettes or, you know, two bars. There's all sorts of different stuff that you could do while finding things around your home or in public that you could work out on. You know, even forms of yoga could be considered the holding stuff. That type of internal strength that you get from that is pretty amazing. It's actually, weightlifting is its own thing, and there's so many different ways, forms of weightlifting, but the holds actually got me to a very, they're very similar to lifting heavy weights, like doing a sort of high intensity type thing. And the comparison that I have to it is like, if I'm doing sambo or jiu-jitsu, is that the internal strength and the power to hold something or to slowly move something back and forth, you'll get actually, believe it or not, from doing stuff like planks or doing stuff like a handstand and, you know, doing however many sets of that for 15 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, depending on the thing. Like an L-sit for 15 seconds is pretty fucking hard. For 3 seconds, a little bit easier, but a plank or something like that, holding that for a minute, you will build up a lot of strength in your body to have that slow force, which is really cool. And then sprints are just good because it's just a totally different type of muscle that I've found, and that, you know, experts not myself, will talk about much more, but the fast twitch muscle, or it'll just keep you on edge. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that it does for your body chemistry apparently as well. So fitness wise, that's what I do. And then I do Chinese martial art. It's actually an American martial art, but it's very much like the Chinese martial arts called Wuchi Fa, where it's a standing meditation. And that I do for my like brain and also internal strength, but you're not moving during it. The rest is just like family life, man. You know, my life, I was actually just talking about this with Maria, and who's my partner. And it was like, somebody asked me about how much I work a day, and I'm like, I don't know, you know, like 10 hours, 15 hours. But she was just like, you work whenever. So my life is like working to maintain my business and do my business, and then also with my family, with her and my son, and to maintain that. And that's it, you know. In terms of a routine, like a lot of guys talk about, like I wake up and I drink my green smoothie and then I do my high intensity and I do that. No, man, I actually fundamentally, philosophically, I don't really agree with that. Like right now I'm doing this workout thing, but more or less, I don't follow a schedule in that way. You know, I think working 10 hours a day, 15 hours a day, 5 hours a day is unnatural. It's not what we were meant to do. It's not what our bodies were meant to do. I do it and I enjoy doing it and I make the choice to do it. But how we would actually achieve happiness and what our emotions were meant to do as a human being were to not force ourselves to do anything. And that's actually an interesting thing that came out of one of the paleo speeches at the 2014 convention, where James Steele spoke about the anthropology of paleo. It's not what he called it, but that's my interpretation of it. But of looking at indigenous tribes now and what they did and how they do work out and how they do stay in shape and the different statistics with disease. And of course, if they get a broken arm or if they get an infection, they're way worse off than like they die, right? But heart disease, cancer, things like that, that we see is so prevalent, are non-existent or close to non-existent in the many different cultures around the world. So this guy actually collaborated all these different people. But what they did was the men didn't play. They didn't do a lot of the stuff that the paleo community talks about, what people would do. They sat around and talked. They walked about 2 miles or 2.5 miles a day. They once a week maybe lifted something or exerted themselves to some extreme degree. Now, look, you and I mean, we have relationships with the gym that we like, and that's a choice. But we also have to realize that if we're trying to find the answer in something as abnormal as working a lot, working out a lot, fitting in with the image of society, our answers are going to plateau at some point. And the real answer for what we were born to be is probably out of something a little bit more simple than going crazy with, you know, being the best or yada, yada, yada. So in my personal philosophy, I don't like to have a routine. I'm obviously a distortion of what we're born to be and working all the time and doing stuff like that. So I know I do it. I do it all the time, but I don't try and think that there's an answer of me finding some sort of inner peace from going crazy. I actually think a lot of the paleo dudes are a little bit nuts in teaching a neurosis rather than a functionality. Like you'll get guys like, I'm going to work all day. I'm going to take Provisual or whatever the hell it is, you know, some sort of nootropic. And then I'm going to eat this way so that I can think better, so I could work more. And then I'm going to have 2 minute workouts of just extreme exercise to stay in shape. And then I'm going to be a functional human being. You're actually stepping so far out of the natural realm and expression of being a human being so that you could fit being a human being in with this thing of what you think you're supposed to be, because, you know, you watched a Steve Jobs documentary and you want to be as insane as him. So, you know, yeah, like I just want to be ordinary and normal. Now, my ambition can sometimes get the best of me and want to do more and more and more, but that's actually not true ambition. True ambition is the pursuit of what is better for you. our, I guess you could say, neurosis or our kind of like cultural conditioning is that that better for you is an image or what you're supposed to do. Anyway, it's a whole nother crazy conversation.
Yeah, it's been a really good conversation as well, Steve. We do kind of got to wrap things up, but is there any kind of takeaway message or send off you'd like to leave our audience?
Yeah, absolutely. So anytime I do a podcast, I like to make something special for the people that listened. You know, if you like this and you're into it, I basically want to offer something that TSL, The Sexual Life, has created over the years that you might like. And there's a ton of different stuff. But because we talked about selling and that like emotional mapping of decision making, I actually want to include a PDF. And here's more importantly, if you just go to thesexuallife.com/elite mag. And so that'll be elite and then MAG. So thesexuallife.com/elite mag. What we'll do is we'll make a page that will be specifically giving away that, that PDF that is on, emotional influence for selling, for seduction, and, basically the power of persuasion. It'll step by step break down a few different things and extensions to what we did. And all of our, basically it's a quick guide. All of our quick guides are really meant to be read in 15 minutes, and you could get there. They're so simple that you could get the technique, you know, in about that same time, you know, 15, 20 minutes of reading it to understand it. Yet it'll be a high leverage tool. Now, what we always say with fitness, with seduction, with anything of your own personal excellence, it's going to take a lifetime to perfect. But this is a pretty awesome open door of how you can make your words, make your presence, and make your connections with people have almost an instantaneous leverage of, you know, that decision making, whether you want to get that $20,000 sale or you want to get that girl's number, or you want people who have just a 2-minute window to make a connection with you have a pretty amazing one. So if you go to thesexuallife.com/elite mag, you can download that for free. You put in your email address and all that sort of stuff, but the PDF gets sent right to you, and you'll be good to go. So that's there. Sweet. And hey, man, everything that I do, everything that we do as a company, it's very important that you're put into your natural state of who you are, and we build a community with it. And I would say whether you do that with us or with somebody else, that is the most important thing. You're always going to be in your own skin. Learn how to live within it and do not pass up the opportunity to join a community of men or create a men's group yourself so that you guys just have each other's backs. That's one of the best ways to grow and learn for anybody. So that would be my ending advice to give to anybody out there is to do those two things.
Sweet, man. Yeah, we definitely appreciate that free PDF. I know our guys definitely check that out. sexuallife.com/elite mag. Steve, it's been a real pleasure having you on, man. I do appreciate the great advice and the awesome interview. I've always been a huge fan of your interviews, so it's kind of follow up on those. So yeah, thanks again, man, for coming on. I appreciate it. And
awesome. Thanks, dude.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right. Get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.